With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We got Daryl?
Oh, right.
Okay. Well, we're going to put off that incredible audio that everybody wants to hear because it is time, heading into a huge playoff weekend, to talk to Daryl Ryder. And we'll ask Daryl the question as he appears via Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
There you go.
Daryl, is there somebody or some team or some coach that you absolutely are rooting against this weekend in the playoffs?
No.
You're not rooting against the Bengals?
No. Steelers got bounced, so I'm good.
All right, hold on.
You're fine with the Bengals?
Let me ask you. Odell Beckham Jr.?
No Odell Beckham?
Yeah, no, okay, I'm not rooting against them.
All right, hold on. Bruce Arians, who attacked another football player on his own team?
Nope.
You're not appalled by that?
Appalled, but I'm not rooting against Tom Brady. Because if Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl, it's an incredible story.
Well, you can root against Tom Brady.
No, I'm not going
to
root against
him. Is it really an incredible story, or is he just adding on to it now? Like, there's some point where it's like,
well,
okay.
I mean, he's older than I am, and I know when I wake up in the morning to get out of bed, at times it's a very painful experience. So I really admire what he's been able to do at his age and how good he is. So, no, I can't root against that. I have the utmost respect for that.
Well, if you and I had millions of dollars to spend on – well, I still wouldn't do that lifestyle. But if you had millions of dollars to spend on Alex Guerrero, you could feel good waking up in the morning too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think I have any special German doctors in the Rolodex to keep me young and vibrant.
My favorite German doctor was the German doctor from Human Centipede. Which one of the three movies was your favorite, Daryl?
I don't even know what you're talking about as far as German doctors in the Human Centipede movies.
Those kids just walked right into his home, too. It was raining outside.
Bunch of idiots. They deserved what happened to him. Here's a hot take for you. Daryl.
I'll take your word for it.
Daryl, I'm going to name a player. And let me ask you, would he be a possibility? Kareem Hunt. People keep mentioning Kareem Hunt. Would he be a possibility to move on from if the right player were to be available?
They're paying him peanuts, so I don't know why you'd want to move on from Kareem Hunt.
Thank you very much. See, I'm a little bit confused about this because I really like Kareem Hunt, and you just said it. They're not paying him very much at all. And
yeah, it costs them nothing to keep him. I mean, I understand to get something, you have to give
Ernest Johnson
up.
Did play very well, though.
Yeah, I know, but I just Kareem Hunt's resume is a little more impressive than De'Ernest. No offense to De'Ernest, because you're right.
He's a good kid.
Great kid, and every time they give him the ball, he gives you 5 yards of carry.
That's true.
But, I mean, I really want to see the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt 1-2 combination to see if they can get that going again next season.
Daryl, there's a little bit of a thing. Like, if Deshaun Watson were available, and they're like, give us Kareem Hunt back. All right, maybe.
Yeah, my preference is to not even consider Deshaun Watson this offseason.
Obviously, yes. But, I made a point yesterday, and a couple people got upset with it for different reasons, weirdly. I saw what they did with Ben Roethlisberger's career in the game before the Cleveland game, and I'm like, You know what? They'll just whitewash this stuff with Deshaun Watson if Deshaun Watson ends up being a legend. So part of me was like, what the hell? Why am I gnashing my teeth over this when we'll just all move on? He'll pay his penalty, and we'll all just, whatever team he ends up with, we'll all move on. And if he's really, really good, we'll all just ignore the elephant in the room someday.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Kareem Hunt's situation. I was vehemently against the Browns signing him, but since they've signed him, he's had a few minor things, but overall, he's been a pretty good citizen. He's done a lot of work in the community, a lot of talks to high school kids explaining his experiences and you know, what led to those experiences and what to avoid in their own lives so that they don't, you know, do some of the things that Kareem has done. So, you know, there is something to be said for redemption and whatnot. But yeah, the Ben Roethlisberger, I heard, I didn't like how ESPN characterized it. They called it immaturity. No, that's not immaturity.
No, those it's
are
not.
Those are serious allegations. And if he wasn't Ben Roethlisberger, he probably doesn't get away with them.
The motorcycle might have been immaturity, but yeah, the other stuff was, yeah. Oh boy. Daryl Ryder joining us here. Well, okay, like, so if it were like Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins, would Kareem Hunt stop you from making those moves?
Would he stop me from making those moves, Ken? Probably not. Okay. Because again, to get something, you got to give something up. My point is, my preference is to keep Kareem on the team. That's all I'm getting at. But would it be a deal breaker for me? No. I'd probably prefer to use draft picks to do something. But if you got to use Kareem as a sweetener of some sort, depending on who it is, it could be hard to argue against it. And again, to your point about what you've been able to get from D'Ernest Johnson every time you give him an opportunity.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. He's very knowledgeable and very sexy. Baker Mayfield had his video right after his shoulder surgery, Daryl. One of the things that stuck out to me was he said, and I wrote it down as he said it when I saw the video the other afternoon, back to my old self, my step to getting back to my old self, my true self is what he said. And I'm going, you know, I kind of got to look at Kevin Stefanski with the side eye again, or I kind of got to look at Andrew Berry and whoever with the side eye again going, That's a guy admitting he's got to get back to his true self. Somebody needed to make the decision to sit him, and he's telling me without telling me right there in that video.
And the Browns refused to acknowledge that they may have erred in their decision to keep rolling him out there at the detriment of him as well as the football team. And that's, you know, what's frustrating. And sure, right, I mean, that doesn't accomplish anything. But them standing by he was medically cleared, he looked good in practice. Of course he looked good in practice. Nobody's hitting him, you know? Yeah. He's wearing the orange jersey. Don't touch him. And he's wearing the shoulder. Once they fit him for that harness, he was wearing shoulder. He was the only guy wearing shoulder pads in practice. So, of course, he looks good in practice. But then, you know, Baker, I guess the communication from Baker was that he was feeling fine and you know, ready to go. So the organization was like, all right, it's all you, dude. And, you know, hindsight being 2020, that was not a good decision. But, yeah, just watching that video, Baker, similar to what I view as some coded messaging coming from the Browns, some coded messaging coming from Baker there. You mentioned one, you know, getting back to himself and being true to himself and things like that. And this is not the end of my story. This is going to be, a great comeback for me. I'm ready to put in that work and things like that. So the good news, the surgery's done. It went well. They didn't find anything other that they were not expecting to find in there. They were able to fix it. He's going to be again rehab starting next week. Light throwing in April. Maybe by the end of the offseason program, that June mini camp, maybe he's able to do a little more. But the expectation is come training camp, he's 100% ready to go to ramp up for the 22 season. So, all good news there. And, you know, hopefully he's able to be healthy again. And we can see the Baker Mayfield that we saw in the second half of that 2020 season.
Del Ryder joined us on the hotline. I've seen a lot of people on Browns Twitter, quote, Browns Twitter, on social media, talk about the type of offense that Baker needs to excel. And it's been interesting because they've obviously had a number of different offenses since Baker has come into the league. You've had a number of different coaches.
Yep.
And some have worked and some haven't. I mean, let's be honest. Baker, even with Hugh Jackson, some of that accentuated some of Baker's skills. He made some of the best throws I've ever seen as a rookie. And then we know 2019 with Freddie Kitchens, they tried different things. Didn't seem to work. 2020, very schemed, very structured offense, especially the second half of the year. The bootlegs, the play action, maybe sometimes one read, and it worked. He was efficient. This year, that same offense didn't seem to work. So what does Baker need to perform well?
Yeah, and that is, I think, part of this puzzle this offseason, Anthony, that they've got to figure out. Yes, whether they want to admit it or not, the injury actually did affect Baker and what he's able to do. From my view, you know, I think Baker is at his best when he's outside the tackle box and he's able to see cleanly down the field. The defense is reacting to his movement, and then he's able to hit, either throw somebody open or hit somebody that's open. Couldn't do a lot of that this year. And yeah, he was sacked a ton. And a lot of those sacks were his fault this year. But it was a domino effect, not just the physical limitation, Anthony, but I think that there was some mental limitation for him. And that's, you know, part of being human. He was sacked 43 times this past season, second most in his career. And so I think that getting him on the move really is where he's at his best, in my view. And I think they got to get back to that, those rollouts, the bootlegs, things like that. I think that those really help get the traffic out of his way, forces defenses to react to him, and then it opens things up on the back end for him to make those bigger plays down the field that we didn't see a whole lot of this year. You know, the Pittsburgh game was a perfect example. The couple times where he did try to get himself out of the tackle box and flip his hips and really get into the ball and try and drive, he couldn't do it. He could not physically do it. That's not a criticism. That's just a fact. It wasn't there for him physically. So I think that style of play really suits him well, just from my point of view.
All right, that's the style of play. What about the type of receiver and or tight end that could accentuate the things that he does really well?
Well, I think he's got one of them. I think that's Jarvis Landry, in my view, is one of them. I think David Njoku, who will be an unrestricted free agent this offseason, I think they should bring him back. Early in his career, I was highly critical of him. I did not think he was a good player. I didn't like his work ethic in practice. But I got to tell you, the last 2 years, I've done a complete 180 on him. His work ethic is night and day improvement. The way he plays the game, I see a night and day improvement, even though he doesn't have monster numbers. I think he's a weapon in the red zone that needs to be used more, quite frankly. I think all three tight ends are weapons that need to be used more. Austin Hooper's been a little disappointing. My frustration with him is when he's not dropping the ball, he catches it and he falls over. You know, the production you've gotten out of a guy that you brought here for $42 million over 2 years is equal to his best season with the Atlanta Falcons. And that I didn't bring Austin Hooper here to be another offensive tackle. I brought him here to catch touchdowns, in my view. That's how I feel about that. And that is part of that introspection that I think you're getting at, Anthony, that I feel like Kevin Stefanski needs to do this offseason, is to really go through and how can I help my playmakers eat in the pass game? Because, like, that's something, even last year when they made the playoffs, the 2020 season, I should say, you know, Jarvis Landry didn't have it that. He had, like, over 70 catches, but he was less than 850 yards that year. And the most touchdowns they got out of the passing game, believe it or not, came from Kareem Hunt, who had 5. I think there's a little bit of a trend there these 2 years. You don't get a lot of touchdowns in the passing game. You're not getting a lot of the consistency in the big plays from your quote-unquote big play playmakers. So I think those are things that Kevin Stefanski, and I'm not blaming Stefanski, but I just think that that's something he needs to look at because, you know, I expect my big play playmakers to put up big numbers. You look around the league, that's what they do. That's what those guys do. And I'd like to see within this offense, those players be put in positions to be able to do that? And, of course, Baker obviously has to get him the football, too.
What the hell's going on with the special teams? I knew that the special teams wasn't that good. I didn't know they were ranked 30th. I didn't know they were that bad.
Oh, so my – you mean my criticism of the special teams was actually warranted?
I guess so, Lord Almighty. Because at first, like, people are like, because –
I know Mike Prefer is not a president of the Daryl Ryder fan club, like many people in Berea, but...
Well, my natural thing, because of Chris Tabor, my natural reaction is to defend special teams, because usually the Browns have been bad. I'm going, well, guys, if the first teamers are bad, the second teamers are usually playing your special teams, and
the
first teamers
are bad.
Well,
the special teams have been the one thing we could hang our hat on, right? The years that the Browns were bad, you had Josh Cribbs, you know,
well,
Cabes,
that's, yeah,
you would find diamonds in the rough.
But there's other things there, like you're getting kicks blocked this year, which, my God almighty. And then there's like other little things where you can't even make a return, because usually when I look at special teams, I go, okay, do people really know what they're looking at? Because we pay attention to returners, kickers, punters, and that's it. And it's like there's so many other things to special teams. I'm like, ooh, they're ranked 30th. Like, holy cow, this is bad. This is really bad.
Well, Anthony Schwartz was averaged over 20 yards per kickoff return, returned 15 of those or so. But he's also returning those from the end zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's running them out to the 45-yard line. The punt return, Demetric Felton was around 7 yards. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones was around the 8 yards, but they never got any big plays. And when they did get the big plays in the special teams on the return game, penalties would bring them back and blow it up. So, I was not real fond of what I saw from the special teams unit. Now, Mike Prefer said after the season, and I will give him credit, he acknowledged that he felt that the performance from his unit this year was average. He did note that they had some improvement in the return game, but just not nearly enough to be a difference maker. And the kicker, that's something they got to figure out. Wasn't happy with what they got from their punting situations this year. So, I think punter's fixable. Hopefully they can find a kicker. I think kickers are new quarterback carousel since Phil Dawson left. I think they've gone through as many kickers since Phil departed as they had quarterbacks. That is something that they're going to need to get shored up. Because I you can win and lose games by on special teams, but special teams is vital when it comes to field position and really being able to set the offense up or set the defense up. And I don't think that unit did a great job of that this year.
Daryl, thank you for the season. Daryl, thank you for the time. Enjoy the weekend, my friend.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.